Hey, and welcome to this podcast on corporate mental health, where we aim to inspire you on how we can actually take mental health and well-being to a strategic level of any given organization, with the results of giving people a larger mental resource while they're at work and a better ability to actually relax when they get home from work. My name is Bjørn Jepsen. I'm the CEO and founder of WeFocus, and I truly hope that you will engage and enjoy these podcasts. Welcome to this episode, which is going to be kind of the difference between trying to avoid stress and actually trying to increase mental health and even increasing mental performance in general. But before we get to that, I want to share a quick story with you, because I think that there is something quite fascinating in this. So last Sunday, I am watching the Formula One together with my kids, which is quite interesting, because he is a huge fan of the series on Netflix, which is called Drive to Survive. We've seen it over and over again, and it's quite interesting because now he knows all the drivers, he can tell stuff about them, and he has done research before we actually going into the final. So you could tell so much stuff about these guys that it was quite fun to listen to. But the story is that kind of how it actually played out, the strategy and the tactics of the Red Bull and the Mercedes car. I really love the fact that actually I think that when they lapped 40 laps, the Mercedes team could tell Lewis Hamilton that at lap 52, you're going to be taken over, or at least Max Verstappen is going to be able to take over you. And I actually think that that's quite fascinating, because literally at lap 52, they were able to do the same thing. And I know this episode is not going to be about business in general, but imagine having that much ability to actually foresee how your business is going to transform. Imagine if you had the ability to actually do the same thing when you wanted to acquire a customer, when you wanted to do business with a new type of companies. If you were literally able to say, okay, so if I do these 5 or 6 or 10 activities, I will within the next 20 days, the next 30 days, have the ability to actually do or get a client. I think that that's so strong. And this is what we are working with continuously with the guys who already done the certification of becoming a corporate mental health facilitator, because this is where we're getting kind of that good feeling in the stomach. If we know I can do these things, and if I do them over again, I will get a client. And if I do it more, I would get more clients. And that is actually such a strong and powerful thing. This is where we're kind of getting that comfort of we actually being able to evolve our business, evolve ourselves together with the business, because now we don't have to worry about how am I going to get this next client? How am I going to get the next piece of business from an old client maybe? But literally just mapping it out and just planning on how it actually should be. And then you know exactly what activities you should be doing to achieve the goal that you have set. And I find that that's quite remarkable that within Formula One, which is of course kind of the highest peak of any kind of both sportsly machine and mental performance, but that they were actually able to foresee that in 12 laps you will be overtaken by your closest competitor. And I think that there is something in this. But the key element or the key subject of this particular podcast is kind of the difference between trying to avoid stress or actually trying to work towards getting a better mental health and well-being. And I find it's quite hilarious, because there is one of the guys in the executive group. He refers to it, what they're doing in the company is that they're trying to put up a fence and they're kind of trying to avoid people, they're putting up, the companies are putting up a fence on a cliff, and they're trying to avoid that their staff is kind of being pushed too much to the fence. And if they are pushed towards the fence, they hope that it's going to hold. And I think that we need to definitely look upon it in a different way. And he completely agrees. But the great thing about it is that if you actually take the five best advices for avoiding stress, you probably know them if you have a passion for mental health and well-being in an organization. And then if you look upon what are the five factors for actually increasing your mental performance, of actually reaching mental higher performance, those five factors are extremely close to the five best advice to avoid getting stressed or burned out. And I think that that's quite remarkable. So instead of trying to teach people you should do these things to avoid stress, so actually trying to do some things to avoid stress and anxiety and all of the negative, we could instead be teaching people of almost exactly the same things, but in a completely different setting, where we're teaching them about, okay, so if you do these five activities, you will move towards something that's greater, which is a better mental health and well-being, more efficiency at work, better quality time together with your family when you get home, and more presence towards yourself. That's such more a positive atmosphere. And that is what it's all about, in my point of view. If we truly want to increase the mental health and well-being of the people that we're working with, we need to give them that ability to actually walk towards something that's better than where they were before. Because if they don't succeed in actually moving to a space where it's going to be a better place, they're just going to try to avoid going near to the cliff. It's going to be scary if they actually fall off that stress cliff, right? If the fence that the company put up didn't hold. So instead of trying to avoid going to something bad, let's try to teach people to actually go to something positive and actually try to reach a better understanding. And that's why it's so important that we don't try to tell everyone that we have that one single answer for everyone, because there is no one single answer. There's no one size fits all. It is literally, we need to encourage people on to figure out what's going to work for them. And actually maybe even making them figure out that in different situations, different stuff is going to work for them. And that's what it's all about. We need to kind of give them that curiosity of what it is that they can do for themselves to increase their own mental health and well-being, but also teaching them on, so what kind of activities is it actually that I can do to increase other people's mental health? And let me be quite specific on that, because I don't think that asking people, so do you feel stressed out or do you feel depressed, is this necessarily the best way to increase mental health and well-being in an organization. I think it's much stronger if you could actually do behaviors on your own that you would be aware of that could increase your colleagues and your own mental health and well-being. Interruption is such a great example, because interruptions is something that's going on each and every day. And if we can just have all of the interruptions, well, then we have really come a far way, because then the individual is not kind of, they're not continuously thinking and acting on each impulse that they're getting of going to disturb a colleague. And in the same way, the colleague is not getting disturbed by the colleague. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't speak to each other. We should, because the creativity is kind of is being there, is being created in that moment where we are together. But I still think that there is so much room for improvement. There's so much room for actually decreasing the amount of disturbance. Or it could be as simple as literally paying attention. Literally paying attention to what the person in front of you is saying. That's going to have such a huge impact, not only on the person that's speaking to you, because they see that you're listening, but just as much it's going to have an impact on you, because you actually allow yourself to do one thing at the time. And if we refer that all the way back to the Formula One example, these guys are doing one thing. right? They have a really specific focus that they're doing. That's why they could do it at that peak level. So imagine that you would take that and make that your aim every time that you are going to speak to someone or you're going to listen to someone. You're going to do it as if it were the most important thing in the entire world. That would literally mean the world to the receiver of the communication, or sorry, the sender of the communication, but it would also mean the world for you because you were only doing that one thing. And as soon as that thing were over, you would be able to actually quietly and with good confidence move to the next task. Instead of constantly thinking, while this person is speaking to you, you're constantly thinking of where could I be? What email should I be answering the next time? Instead, just staying in the moment, staying present towards your colleagues and staying present towards yourself. And we can do that. I'm going to emphasize this one more time. We can do that by teaching people that if you don't do it, you will be stressed out. You will fall off the cliff. Or we can do the opposite. The exact opposite and say, hey, why don't you do this? Because it will affect your mental health and well-being and it will affect your colleague. And it's generally just a nice thing to do. It's being a decent human being towards the people that you're working with. And I think that that's a quite good argument of going towards something that's better instead of avoiding something that's really bad. And the advice and the science are so close to each other. So it's literally just a matter of we are pivoting everything. And whenever we try to teach people something that's good, then everyone is going to walk towards it instead of walking away from it. Because there's so many leaders and managers and especially HR people, they're like, so if we put a focus on mental health and well-being in our organization, we need to educate our managers in speaking about anxiety, stress, depression, and so on and so forth. And I'm not saying that it's not important to talk about those stuff, but we can't, because then the managers are saying, so where is my responsibility if someone comes with a depression or suicidal thoughts? Then it's on me. Then I'd rather not ask. So we need to drive it in a different way. We need to drive it in a way so that we're giving them another toolbox. We're giving them a different set of tools where they can actually do concrete, specific action that will help these people without necessarily asking them about their depression or anxiety or so on and so forth. So that's my short podcast of the day of why it could be important to actually focus on going somewhere nice and focusing on how we can actually improve our mental health instead of trying to avoid walking towards this edge of stress and burnout. All right, I hope that it made sense to you. I'd love to hear your comments on the podcast. Otherwise, I will speak to you shortly. Have a great day. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I truly hope that you got some sort of inspiration out of listening to this episode. If you want to join our community, you're more than welcome to join our group on Facebook. All you have to do is search for Corporate Mental Health, and then you can be part of this community where we're trying to build the strongest possible product for organizations where we can work with mental health and well-being. As you know, my name is Bjørn Jepsen. I come from WeFocus. You're more than welcome to reach out to me. Just drop me an email, give me a call, and we can have a chat. I always love to engage with like-minded people. All right, speak soon. Have a great day.